Well, I am certainly thankful today that those are more than just words of a song. Those words speak truth, and they have eternal meaning. And this morning, the Lord our God he's worthy to be praised, and I want to praise Him with the conduct of my life. I believe this morning that the Lord has given me a message for somebody here, maybe somebody's, and if this message is for you today, maybe it's for all of us, I want you to be encouraged that the Lord is looking out for you. The Lord knows the battles that you're facing in life. And He is intent on helping all of us make it home safely. I'd like to write the title on the board. I've written on the board, "The Bully is Defeated." I'd like to start in the 28th chapter of Matthew this morning. And the 18th verse, it said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth." All power, Jesus said, is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And this is the same God that invites us to sit at His table. The same God that invites us to be part of His family. The one that has all power in heaven and in earth. This is the same Lord that promised never to leave us, never to forsake us, period. It's the same Lord that invited us, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." This morning we have much to be encouraged about. For indeed we are in very good hands. I'd like now to turn to the 14th chapter of John, and this is the main text this morning. Two verses, John 14, 30 and 31, and just a little background. Jesus is talking here. He had been spending time comforting His disciples. The Lord knew that His time on earth was coming to an end, and He had spent several years ministering, being with His disciples, working miracles, speaking to souls, raising up the lame and the crippled, and bringing sight to the blind, and comforting those that felt like that they had no hope. And He knew that when He left, that it was going to be a time of faith being challenged. And so He was endeavoring to comfort His disciples and told them not to let their heart be troubled, and told them about the Comforter that He was going to send in the Holy Spirit, that He would come and live and dwell in us and be our strength. And the Lord was telling them these things shortly before He began that long walk to Gethsemane. And He wanted to communicate to them before He died on the cross, something special. And He told them in the 30th verse, He said, "Hereafter I will not talk much with you." His time of talking in person was coming to a close. He said, "For the prince of this world cometh, and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father, And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. And I was struck with these words this way, in part, that to me it speaks of the Lord telling His disciples, I just want you to know that the prince of this world is coming, which is generally known as Satan. That the power of Satan is in this world, and he has nothing in me. He is not a prince over me. The prince of the power of the air, the enemy of our soul, Jesus told them, not only does he not have but just a little bit in me, he said he has nothing in me. But this thing that's getting ready to happen, yes, there are those that it may look like conquered me. It may look like when you see me crucified, a horrible death on the cross, and it is going to be a time where I'm not going to just pass through my enemies and go away seemingly unscathed. But it's going to look like that they were able to exert their will over me, and that somehow they won the battle. But I want to tell you, the prince of this world comes and he has nothing in me. But that the world may know, I am going to a place. I'm getting ready to be crucified on a cross, that the world may know that I love the Father. And that as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. That is why you will see me on the cross. Not because the enemy has any power over me or has any place in me. I'd like you to hold that thought for just a little bit. Have you ever encountered a bully? Anybody ever encountered a bully in life? Have you ever watched bullies at work? I remember a lot of times, but I remember one particular time. There were three bullies that ganged up on a underprivileged, if I can say it that way, individual. Seemingly for no other reason, because I don't really think they knew him very well. Seemingly for no other reason that they thought it was funny. Falsely. It wasn't funny. And they thought they could get away with it. And in the end, they weren't able to get away with it. And no bully is, in the end, really able to get away with it. And somehow, perhaps, they thought that it... maybe it did something for their own insecurity. I don't know. But they ganged up on somebody that was underprivileged, that was weaker than they were. I remember an adult man, and I was around him a lot. He was loud. He was big. He had a strong personality, and he used it. And he used it to overwhelm people. He used it to run over the top of people often. He was kind of scary to a lot of people. And one day he told me, in a moment of self-disclosure, I guess, he said, you know, he said, I know that's the way I am. He said, the reason that I do that on purpose. And he said, the reason that I do that is because there's times I don't want to be questioned. I don't want to have to answer to somebody else. I want my way. And so I know that if I do that, that people will cower and draw back. And I'll be able to have my way. And I'm going to be open with you this morning. I've never been a fan of bullies. Particularly bullying. It's never something that was attractive to me. And I hope it's not something that's attractive to you. You know, as I've gotten older, I've realized that not always, but sometimes people that bully other people have often been bullied themselves. And people that bully other people, as hard as it may be, deserve our pity. And our love, as hard as that may be, particularly if we're the recipient of being bullied. And right now, I'm speaking of people. Oftentimes, people that do that have difficult lives and they're not at peace in their own hearts. I'm still unimpressed with bullying. And further, and more importantly, neither is the Lord. So what is bullying? I want to read you a formal definition. Bullying is abuse and mistreatment of someone vulnerable. Abuse and mistreatment of someone that is vulnerable by someone stronger and more powerful. And another characteristic of a bully is that when faced with somebody more powerful than they are, they usually cower and retreat pretty quickly. Their motivations are misguided. They can't be counted on often. I'll say this, pause for a minute. With social media so widespread, this tactic has also become more widespread. Perhaps because the aggressors feel protected and hidden sometimes and don't have to face maybe people face to face and can say things where they feel like they're in a place they can run if they have to run or hide, and maybe they're not gonna be challenged. That's not the only place bullying takes place. It happens face to face too, as previously mentioned. Happens at work. It happens in town. Bullying happens all around us, where people that feel like they are in a position of strength leverage that against people that are vulnerable, sometimes for no other reason that they believe they are in a position of strength. And it's not pretty. And much could be said about that. That's not at the core of my message this morning. But I will say this, folks. Don't ever be attracted to that behavior. Let that not be named among us as Christians, where we take advantage of the vulnerable. And I'm going to get really close to home. Really close to my own home. Me too. Did you know that when you say things about other people that hurts their reputation to somebody else, and they're not there, they're in a vulnerable situation. You feel like you're in a position of strength because you don't have to face them. They're not there. They're somewhere else. And yet, we, if we're not careful, can get caught up, because it happens all the time, where people start talking about other people, not in a positive way, in a negative way, begins to destroy who they are and how they're viewed. And sometimes people do that because, I guess, it helps make them feel better about themselves, maybe. Different reasons, perhaps. But that person's not there to defend themselves or respond. Often we don't call that bullying sometimes. But it's a cousin, if it's not. Let's hold other people up. We've been studying about love in our Sunday school lessons. And one of the things that has struck me is it said that love covers a multitude of sins. Love, charity, covers. It doesn't look at vulnerabilities and then immediately take advantage of it because there it is. You know, there's animals that are like that out in the wild. They go after the vulnerable. They go after the ones that look like something's wrong, and there's something that rises up in them to go get them because they look like they're scared or they're vulnerable. Let's not do that as Christians. Let's hold each other up. Let's cover. Let's protect. Let's help each other get safely home. But this morning, the few minutes we have left, I'm thinking of bully number one. I'm thinking of the master bully this morning. And that is the enemy of our souls. He has been in the business of bullying for a long time. And he is a master of it. And the further along that I get in my Christian life, and the more the Lord has helped me understand about His grace and His love and His care for me, and the promises that He gives us that are sure, that I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. I'm not going to hang you out to dry. I'm not looking for an opportunity to just cut you off because I see that you're vulnerable or you stumbled or there's a weakness in you, so I'm going to come in and just cut you off. That's not God. That's not the loving Father. And the more I begin to learn about that and internalize that truth, the more I recognize the tools that the enemy uses against Christian people, the more displeased, if I can use that word, highly displeased that I am, upset with the enemy, that he steals the peace and the rest from so many good people that are doing everything they know to live right. And yet, the enemy loves to come in and take advantage of those that are endeavoring to serve the Lord and bully them. And he has had much success in stealing the joy and the rest that the Lord wants all of us to have. And I want to remind you of some of the enemy's tactics. In Revelation 12 and 10, it said that he is an accuser of who? What does it say? Who? The brethren. It didn't say that he was an accuser of the guilty. It didn't say he was the accuser of those that went off and went in a direction they knew they shouldn't have gone and willfully separated themselves from God, and so, boy, he came in like a flood to accuse them. That's not what it said. It didn't say that he was an accuser of the belligerent. It didn't say that he was an accuser of those that lived after the spirit of the world. It said an accuser of the brethren. What that means is that one of the things that the enemy of our soul does is he comes in to those people that are children of God, that are saved, that have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. And he comes in and he begins to accuse the saved. And he begins to accuse those that are living to all that they know to live. And he accuses them of things that simply are not true. He says things that just simply aren't true. He misrepresents. So the enemy comes in and he says, you know, you're probably not even saved. Just so you know, I know you go to church and I know, you know, you do these different things and I know what you think in your heart and all that kind of thing, but just so you know, you're probably not even saved. The enemy ever told you that? And you don't exactly know why. That's the enemy. You're probably not even saved. But he doesn't tell you exactly why in a way that you look at the word of the Lord and you look at that and you say, oh, that's right. The enemy accuses without a path to light. The enemy pushes down but doesn't show a way out. He just leaves you in darkness. The Lord comes when we have a need. He shows us our need with love and care because he paid a great price for our salvation. So he wants us to be saved, by the way, and shows us, here's what you need to do so that you can continue to make it home safely. That's Jesus. The enemy comes in and says, you're probably not even saved, and we have no idea why. Or he might come in and say, you know, you really don't deserve to feel the joy of the Lord in your life. Hey, I know you go to church and I know you claim salvation and I know that there's scripture that teaches that there remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. But you might be a person of God. Maybe. That's in question. Maybe you are. Maybe you're not. But just want you to know you don't deserve to be at rest in your soul with Jesus. And so he steals away that which is not his to take from us. And part of, there's some deception that is all intermingled in here. And you know what part of the deception is? Is that I don't deserve the rest. I don't deserve to feel at peace in my soul. I didn't do anything in life that warranted, that earned me the status of the rest. And the enemy knows that, and that's true, and so he takes bits and pieces of truth and puts it together with these other ingredients and serves us up a platter of a piece of truth and a whole lot of falsehoods. And he bullies us with those things. He's deceitful. Jesus came to pay the price for that which we were not able to pay. That's where our rest comes from. Our peace is in the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Our peace comes from grace. Unmerited, unearned favor of God. By grace are ye saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. The scripture says it is a gift of God. Remind the enemy of that. The other thing he likes to do is he comes in and he says, you know, you see this mountain over here that you're getting ready to face? You see this fire that you're in? You see these things that are getting ready to go down? You see this darkness that you're in? You probably are never going to have peace again in life. Your joy is now gone because of this that's happening to you or a loved one or perhaps both. Just get accustomed to doom and gloom. That's the enemy. That's not the Lord. John 8 and 44 says that the enemy is a liar and the father of it. He says things that are not true. They're lies. And Jesus said in John 10 and 10, the thief cometh not. What's a thief? Does a thief come to take the things that are his? No. A thief is one that takes that which is not his to take. And that is the enemy of our souls. He comes not but to steal, take away that which is yours, that's not his to take, to kill and to destroy. He meddles in people's lives. He meddles in other people's business. He meddles in other people's relationship with the Lord that he has no right to. He has no ownership of. He takes that which is not his to take, and he gives us to carry those things which are not ours to carry. And the Lord wants us to understand his ways so that when that starts to happen, we can identify it for what it is and say, no, that's not the Lord. That is the enemy. And the good news that I bring to you this morning is that he has been defeated. The bully has been defeated. He no longer reigns. The Lord defeated him. He's not allowed anymore. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through what? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. And I, this morning, I want to encourage this congregation. And not just the congregation as a whole, but yes, collectively, but individually. You as a person, that the Lord is sending us a message today to be of good courage, to understand the way that the enemy of our soul works, to not allow the enemy to discourage us and take away that which is not his to take. I'd like to read Revelations 12 and 10 in whole. There was more to it. It said, Revelations 12 and 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. That's our part. The word of our testimony. Our salvation comes by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. And let us not neglect to use the word of our testimony as a tool to do battle against the enemy. I am saved. I have been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I love the Lord. I am doing everything that I can to serve God, and He promised never to leave me or forsake me. Will we have trouble in life? Yes. Will we have mountains to cross? Yes. Fire to go through, deep waters to try to navigate through, yes. But Jesus said, in this world, yes, you're going to have some tribulation. But he said, be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And I want to encourage you with this, that if the enemy comes along and begins to put things in your mind of and accuse you and begins to discourage you with certain things, take those things to Jesus. Just take them to the Lord and tell Him everything that the enemy just told you. And be of good courage when you do that. And you know what? If there's something, if there's some truth in that, the Lord is going to do whatever He has to do to show us how to get out of that problem. If it's a problem that we really have, the Lord has an interest in the salvation of our souls. Be encouraged to go to the Lord and that He is a defeated foe. We started in the 14th chapter of John, and I'd like to conclude there this morning. It said, hereafter I will not talk much with you, for the prince of this world cometh and hath nothing in me, but that the world may know that I love the Father. And as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go hence. The prince of the power of the air has nothing in me. The spirit of the enemy, the current of the world that is powered by the enemy, the discouragement that he brings, he has not my heart. He has nothing in Jesus. And if we have Jesus in us, then the enemy has no power over us. And the enemy knows that we too love the Father as Jesus loved the Father. He knows that we have given ourselves to serve Him as Jesus submitted Himself into His Father's hand, and with that established, we can arise and go forth encouraged to press on. Jesus ended and He said, arise, let us go hence. With these truths established, let us too this morning be encouraged to rise and go in faith, because the victory has already been won. Maybe we could stand this morning. There's a song that says, I know, 106. Maybe we could sing verses 1, 4, and 5. And let's not just sing the notes, but let's consider the words. Verses 1, 4, and 5. Amen.